Welcome to Kick-Ass Boomers, giving you the motivation and inspiration you need to make the most of your later years. Whether you're still in the planning stages or you're several years in, we'll share stories from boomers who refuse to act their age and continue to live a life inspired. Let them show you how being old can be new if you know what to do, with your host, Terry Lorbeer.
Hello and welcome to Kick-Ass Boomers. My guest today is DJ Stutz. DJ is an early childhood specialist with over two decades of experience, specializing in special education and music. Her extensive background includes roles as a parenting facilitator for the Clark County, Nevada Division of Family and Youth Services and leadership positions in the PTA, including serving as president of the Nevada State PTA. DJ is committed to enhancing parental involvement in education, notably founding a Nevada commission to boost Latino fathers' engagement with their children's schooling. DJ is a children's author and also a speaker. Welcome, DJ. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me and having me here with you today.
You're welcome. I know my boomer nation is going to have a lot of fun with you. We're going to have fun. I mean, we're talking about education and how grandparents can help, but we're going to make it fun to listen to. It's a fun topic. So tell us what attracted you to the profession, first of all, and why early childhood education?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I'll start at the last part of your question there. I started out doing high school. And so I did well in high school, history and English, and had a lot of fun. I worked with inner city schools, high gang activity, but I found that if you use your sense of humor and don't take anything really all that seriously, that you can gain their respect and have fun. But what I saw was a ton of holes in what they were learning and what they were coming with and that in their education abilities and understandings. And I really felt like where I could fill these holes is when they first get started, because a lot of these were attitudes that came to them from being young kids, kindergarten, even preschool, and the primary grades, which is when you hear primary grades, that's K-1-2. And a lot of attitudes, if they weren't a well-behaved child in class, they get named that, you know, that tag comes on to them. And so I just felt like there was more I could do to help them get off to a better start. So went back, got my early childhood, and really enjoyed that and spent a lot of time teaching kindergarten again. I went from Las Vegas to Denver in all of that. And so inner city, my parents were gang members, that kind of a, situation.
That's tough.
It was interesting, but I think, well, like with any situation, when you can gain the trust of the people that you're working with, things open up. And so my parents came to realize that I loved them and accepted them for where they were. We were here to help your kids have the best life. And so they would start asking me, you know, why does my child behave this way? Why is my child such a monster? Or please don't say that in front of them. They'll believe you. But so that's kind of how I started in with the coaching, was just my parents coming to me and asking all of these questions and me saying, we could talk about that if you want it, but if you want things to change, that's going to mean some changes for you. So if you're not ready for that, no judgment here, we're fine. But if you really want and are ready to make maybe some changes in your life, as well as the life of your kiddos, I'm more than happy to talk to you. And so I did have some parents who were like, yeah, it's too hard. I don't want to. That's fine. I'll love your child and work with them. But I had others that were like, no, I want to know, help me. And so we went forward with that. So that's kind of where the coaching started. I am the oldest of seven. I was a big sister at 14 months. And my youngest brother was born 2 weeks before I turned 17, during the summer before my senior year. And So I just kind of, as an oldest and a female, I got a lot of that responsibility laid on to me. I am the mother of five.
Wow.
And our 13th grandchild is on the way. We'll be here in January. So
lucky
we're really
you.
Excited about that. So I baker's dozen.
Yes,
I don't know
fantastic.
If I'll get any more, but I'll take that.
Yep.
And between my husband and I, we have 70 nieces and nephews.
Wow. That's a lot to keep track of. Oh my God.
Well, it is. And yeah. So, you know, there's not a lot of presents going around because that's
right,
so many,
right.
But cards, birthday cards, Christmas cards, and all of that. My husband was an uncle at three. He's the youngest of nine. So, you know, we don't, it's not the cute little nieces and nephews that we have plenty that are grandparents themselves.
Right.
So,
right. That's funny.
And so it's just a fun life. It's a fun relationship. And two, in through all of that, in working with them and his own siblings, my siblings, our involvement now as grandparents are the youngest of all those kids. Well, that he was that one born when I was 17, just became a grandpa a year ago. And so it's kind of funny that now we're all in the grandpa, grandma role.
Right.
And moving forward with that. And that's a very different stage. I have the saying is that forget Disneyland, grandma land is the happiest place on earth.
Absolutely. I so agree because I mean, I loved my grandparents and, you know, most kids do. Some don't. There's a few that don't, but
yeah.
Most kids just really love their grandparents no matter what. And it's always a special mm-hmm. place when they go visit them. And it's funny because I'm one mm-hmm. of 11 and I am at the top. So I know I was taking care of the youngest.
Yep.
We're closer together. Out of 11 kids, they were born in 10 and a half years. So it's only 10 and a half years between all those kids because some of us were born less than a year. There's only 1 year mm-hmm. and a half gap in between two of them. All the others, it's every year a child. So,
wow.
Yeah. So we're not spread out totally in age, but I am one of the older ones. So I know what it's like. You have to take care of them and, you know, kind of teach them and they look up to you and all that stuff,
yeah.
which is great.
Yeah.
And I have one sister who was a kindergarten teacher. She's retired now. But again, when you're a kindergarten teacher, you get to lay that groundwork. And if it's not done mm-hmm. right, they can maybe not right. do as well as they could. And not every teacher right. is that good at being a kindergarten teacher. I think it takes a special kind of person to be a kindergarten teacher.
I guess I hear people say that all the time to me,
yeah.
but you know, and I think there's a special place in heaven for teachers who teach junior high.
Well, that's that is a tough age. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But they're already
high school. I loved and enjoyed.
So I think their parents and their friends have more influence than the teachers at that point. But when you're really young, the teacher can really play a big part, but junior yeah. high, oh, it's tough for the teacher. It's really tough.
Yeah. Because
they're going through so much.
But I know
some are raging.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have an aunt, my dad's sister, who taught junior high science for years and took on the more needy kids, you know, the
right.
kids who were failing and everything. And she loved it and they loved her. And she made science very hands-on and very interesting, which is really how we need to be teaching anyway.
That is how we need to be teaching because it's
yeah.
the only way you learn. I only learn hands-on when I'm doing it. So I can read it in the book, but until I start doing it myself, it doesn't make sense. And science is so important to do there mm-hmm. in the classroom. You're right.
Yeah. Well, and in home too. I mean,
yeah.
so I'm a public school teacher. I'm back. I'm back
Are
in
you
school
back?
2 days a week now.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah,
good
the school
enough,
to the town
much.
Just north
right.
of us.
Oh.
Yeah, they heard about me. I became friends with their curriculum coach who lives down the street from me. And they have some super high need kids and one in particular that needs someone with them all day. And so I was like, I can't do every day. I can give you 2 days a week. That's what I can do.
Right, right.
With everything else that I have going on. And they're like, we'll take it.
Absolutely. So, 2 days is better than none, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And so anyway, so I've still got my fingers in that pie a little
That's
bit.
Great. And you know, I always I encourage boomers to, even after they retire, keep active doing something. So if someone approaches you to do something like that, you don't want to do it 5 days a week. I get that. I don't want to do anything 5 days a week either, but something part-time or volunteer. Mm-hmm. Maybe you go in and help the kids that are struggling learning to read. You know, outside people come in and do that. So really anybody can volunteer to do that. And some of those kids really need someone helping them with reading. And reading is a basic. If you can't read, you're probably going to have trouble with all of your subjects.
Right. And there are even para opportunities where you're like an assistant to the teacher, where you actually get paid very little bit.
Right.
But at least you're getting a little bit of something. And you have that opportunity to make those connections with kids who really need. There's so many kids. We spread out so much now.
Yeah.
Like my five kids, I've got them in five different places, and none of them is just Rito. So yeah. And
me
so
too.
We've got Reno and Las Vegas and they're, and the furthest one is Houston. But so, and we're not uncommon.
Right. No, I
a
know.
A lot of kids, more and more, where there used to be that generation and that multi, you know, generational familial connections.
Right.
They're fewer and far between now. And absolutely. So now when you volunteer in, especially in an elementary, but there are places to volunteer in higher grades if that's where you want. Mm-hmm. But you really do have a chance to make a difference in someone's life. And dads, men, we need you. We need you there to also give them that influence. The last school that I taught at, my school that I taught at, shut down. And so I was at a normal middle income school, and I was laughing at what they thought were problems.
Right.
You know, I was like, whoa,
no
that, you think that's a problem? Okay. Right. But the most popular para, so he was being paid, he didn't come every day, it was like I think he was 3 days a week or something, but he was a grandpa and he was 70 and he was in kindergarten, and but to have that male connection of, you know, someone that's interested in their education, grandpas, we could really use you, whether it's with your own grandkids or whether you're volunteering in some kind of effort with those kids. They really do need that male influence.
I agree. We just don't see it enough. There's too much of the female, and the male, you know, the young male students need that. They need to see that. So it's mm-hmm. important for them.
Yeah. So, well, and in the school I'm working with now, there's only the only male that works at the school is the principal.
You're kidding. Wow.
Mm-mm. Everyone else. Well, except for the facilities, like the janitor. Right. But that's it.
Wow. When I was growing up, it was mostly females, but there were some males. And in the high school I went to, it was a Catholic high school, you had a boy's side and a girl's side. So the boy's side had the male teachers, the girl's side had the female teachers. So that was okay, because at least the guys were getting what they needed. I was okay with that.
Yeah.
And in elementary school, I don't think we ever had a male teacher. I think they were, I went to a Catholic one, so a lot of nuns were still teaching back then, which there's not enough of them now, so you never see the nuns teaching. They're just, you know, they're all lay people doing it, but it was just mostly female teachers or the nuns. And the nuns were brutal to the boys. Oh my God, they were awful. If the boys acted up in class, they would make them kneel down. They'd get their ruler and they'd start banging their hand. Oh, back in the day, you were allowed to do that. So they throw an eraser at them. Oh my God. Some of the boys got beat up by the nuns. It was, the girls would sit there and kind of go, not laugh, but found it a little bit amusing, but the boys sometimes, you know, they were very upset. But yeah, that's the way we were back in the 50s and 60s. Whole different time. So there's a lot of grandparents now that got involved in their kids' their grandchildren's education, especially during COVID. So do you have any advice for them? What can they do to be able to do a better job? Because a lot of them feel like they don't really have the background. They aren't teachers, but what can they do to make that experience better for the kids?
Right. No, you you have more experience than you give yourself credit for. And so give that a first thing. But there are also a ton of resources that are out there. So one of the things is get involved. It's okay to join. Even if I live in Idaho right now, we've moved here after I retired. But so I live in Idaho right now, and I've got grandkids in Nevada. I can still join the PTA at their school. And that gets me on their mailing list. And so I'll get an email that says, oh, we're doing this fundraiser, or we have this activity coming up, or whatever. That gives me an opportunity that when I talk to my grandkids to say, hey, how did that thing go at your school? You know, or I know testing's coming up. And so how are you feeling about that? You know, in the spring when they do the stupid national testing that they do. Right. But far be it for me to have an opinion, but then if by joining that, and so some places instead of a PTO, they might, or PTA, they might have a PTO or some other kind of parent thing, but find out how can I join and get on that mailing list. So even if I'm a distance parent or grandparent, I'm in the know, and I still have things that I can talk to my grandkids about that are pertinent in their lives and what's going on.
I never another even thing thought of that. Yeah.
But it's easy. And it's just like what, between $5 and $10 for a year to join. And now you've got access to all of that great information that's coming from your child's school and what big events and all those fun things that are going on at their school.
And it does give you things to talk to them about, because otherwise you don't really know what to ask them.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we've got that. But, and then too, if you're, I call them granny nannies, but if you're, you know, a grandparent that's actually providing some form of childcare, whether it's after school or they're very young and they're not in school yet, you know, that's a whole new ball game. And you mentioned earlier the question of, you know, when you have to discipline your grandkids, because they're there, you can't let them run wild, right? And they need to learn. And sometimes they need to learn some lessons from us that they're not going to learn from their mom and dad. Right. And so and my kids just give up. They're just like, okay, when you go to Nana's house, my grandkids call me Nana, but when you go to Nana's house, you know, they know that they're going to come back. But we had our grandson, one of our grandsons, 6 years old. We had him for 7 weeks this summer to help out because of work and school and the cost of childcare, all of that. It was cheaper for them to bring him out here and have him stay with us for those 7 weeks than to pay for the childcare. And here it's like, you know, it's very country. We have horses in a pasture next door to us, and there's a canal. It's all, you know, just down the road, and we're on a dirt road, and you know, there's, so it's very rural. And but when he went home, now his mom's like, he makes his bed. Well, of course he does.
I expect him to.
And I'll bet he makes it properly too. And so, you know, and at first we would just, I would go in and I would be with him, but you start, you know, you just say, you're going to make your bed. You don't do that. But I had him in the room with me while I was making the bed. And then I'd started asking him to help and showing him some of the little tricks that, you know, I'm old. So
me too.
I have set ways of making a bed. And so I'd show him those things. And then one day I said, hey, Eli, I think you know how to make the bed by yourself now. I think you're big enough and you've learned enough. I want to see if you can do it by yourself. And I'll come in, and if we need to fix it after, that's fine. But I just want to see how you do. He went and did a fabulous job, actually. It's a queen size bed that he was in our guest room. Wow. And I was like, you know, great.
And they're so proud of themselves when they do that.
Oh my goodness.
They're really, and
in fact, when his
gave him that chance to be proud of himself.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what parents don't always understand.
And in fact, when his dad came, no, they don't.
They don't.
And when his dad came to pick him up, that was, and they were just leaving. And so I thought, don't make the bed. I'm going to pull the sheets. We'll, you know, we'll wash them, all of that. No, 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 no. Eli was going to show his father how he knew how to make a bed.
That's great.
And that was the most exciting thing for him, was to show his dad, I can make this bed. And now his mom, I was talking and she said, sometimes he comes in and makes our bed.
Straight.
It's like, good.
She's busy. Yay. Let him do it.
Yeah, let him do it. So I think that kids are capable of way more than we give them credit for.
Absolutely.
And so there are some parents that expect too much. It's not developmentally appropriate. But for the most part, I think we expect too little of our kiddos. And so, but here's the fun thing. We've gotten old. We don't have all the energy we had when we were in our 20s and 30s having our kids, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you'll learn that. Like, go figure that
exactly.
out. Right.
You'll help set the table. You'll help do the dishes because you need the help. And they're eating. Everyone that eats should participate, as far as I'm concerned, somewhere along the way.
Well, in fact, it was really cute because, you know, when he was done, I'd be, so what's your next job? Well, I'm going to go play. Play after you take your dishes, put them in the sink. And it, what, like within a week or so, he's doing it without even being asked.
Yeah, that's
great. And so I don't need to be mean. I don't need to be all grumpy about it, you know, but I can say, oh, yeah, no, we're not doing that. We're going to move on to this. Now, one of the things that, and I think some of your parents who are doing some of that care with their grandkids, is he was behind in reading. So he had just finished kindergarten, going into first grade. And so one of the things mom and dad wanted me to do is help him along with his reading skills. I know how to do that. So,
absolutely.
You know, and at first we had like the worksheets and we had, you know, books and all of these things. And actually I didn't think he was that far behind. He wasn't too horrible bad. Grammar, he was not good at. And his handwriting was horrific. Okay, so let's fix those things. So we had all these things and I'm sitting there next to him and he's getting all my attention and, you know, we're celebrating every little success that he has. Right. But the reality is when he goes back to first grade, he's not going to have a teacher who can sit next to him all day and keep him engaged and keep him, you know, all of that. They're going to have other things. And so I realize that I've got to help him also to get this work done independently.
Yes. Yep.
And so every morning we had our little school time and it was usually only about maybe a half an hour or so, not too long.
Right.
And so I showed him what he was supposed to do. We went over it three times and I had him answer questions and make sure, okay. And you know, your word bank, he had a word bank at the top of this page and he's supposed to fill in. Okay. So then I said, Eli, I know that you can do this by yourself because you are so smart and you're such a good worker. I'm going to go and work in the kitchen. And he was at the kitchen table. So I'm going to work on the breakfast dishes and I'm going to get things cleaned up and you can do your work. What? He was just shocked. Right? No, you have to sit next to me. I'm like, no, I think you've got this.
Yep.
And so then he started with the whining and the whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You are free to whine as long as you want.
Yep.
But you still cannot go outside until this is done. So you can hurry up and get it done. And I like that. Or you can sit and whine for as long as you want. I got nothing else to do today. So you choose, and I'm just going to get my stuff done. And then he started with the, you know, well, you don't want me to be smart, or you would help me, or, you know, like he, yeah, oh, Goodman, both his parents are salespeople. So,
So he
started with those kinds
stuff.
Of things. Yeah. Funny. And I'd be like, Eli, you know, that's not true, but I'm still not going to help you. And so you can sit here. And then it was like, but I want to get on my iPad. Because he had an hour a day. He could be on his iPad, which was like major cutoff from what he was getting at home.
Yep.
But okay. And I said, well, you can't have your iPad as soon as your work is done. Right. So now I'm turning it into a positive,
right?
You know? And so, and then, you know, and then he'd go back into that. Well, you don't love me. You don't. I'm like, I'm not even talking to you right now because now you're saying silly things. So, you know, that's not the truth. And so, and now I'm making up things to do, you know, around this went on for like an hour and a half to 2 hours he's there working on it. And no need to get mad. No need to, you know, I'm just like, okay, whatever, you know, now I'm going to vacuum. And so finally he realized, man, she's sticking to this. So he sat down, he got all his work done in like 15 minutes. And we had a huge celebration. Ice cream was involved. And, you know, and it went on. But I'll tell you what, the next day he was like, Nana, I can do my work by myself. You go and do your work. I'll do my work.
Wow. That went fast. One day later?
One day. Now, I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. Did he test me? Because he now had 3 more weeks of being with Nana and Poppy. Right. Before he went home. Did he try to test me within those mm-hmm. to see if I was still serious?
Yep.
He did. Mm-hmm. And I passed. But here's the thing. Every time he would try to test me, it was a shorter and shorter amount of time.
Right. Right.
Well, I never had the 2 hour anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. You know?
And sometimes it would just be like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, I understand. Yeah, I know. I didn't like to do that either. Right. But sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. That's part of being a grown-up. And you are growing up so very quickly, I can't even believe it. So, you know, if you can go with some of those things, and so we're teaching them about the values that are important, mm-hmm. the values of hard work, of doing something you really don't want to do, but you need to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, the value of honesty, the value of integrity, the value of caring and treating other people kindly and pets kindly too. He's a little rough on our dogs when he first got here. Just Mr. Energy, just all over the place, tons of energy. Right. And so it wasn't that he meant to be mean. It was just that impulsiveness. But, you know, there were still concerns. Yeah, you can't treat our dogs like that. Yep. So, you know, you're not allowed to play with our dog for this amount of time or whatever.
Right.
And, but you don't need to be angry or mean. That's the fun about being, you know, old and a grandparent. Well, it's the fun about being a parent too. So with my coaching, because I'm a parent coach,
right.
That's one of the things that I teach my parents is how to have firm boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Developed around your values that are important to you that you want to pass on, but right. not do it with being gruff and angry and punitive about it.
Right.
You know, it's a great thing. And in fact, I've even had one family, this was about a year ago. They did a 6-week coaching thing with me, but they had grandparents, parents, and in fact, the siblings of the parents. So it was the grandparents and their 3 kids.
Wow.
And their spouses, all because they all live very in close proximity to one another.
Right. Right.
And so they wanted to make sure that, you know, the cousins are always here and there and grandparents and whatever. Right. They wanted everyone to be on the same page.
Yeah. That is excellent.
And I thought, yeah, that was great. So, you know, we did the group coaching. It's even cheaper to do it that way too. But, you know, so we did it as a group. We did a 6-week program with everyone and they had a blast. I had a blast, but I loved that they were all trying to get on that same page.
That is so important. It really is. Cause if one person's doing one thing, the other's doing something too, it gives the kid, they're confused. So, so important to be on this.
Well, and they're manipulators.
Yeah. Let's face it. Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
And that's not that they're bad.
No.
It's just that they're human.
Yeah.
And they see these opportunities. Right. And so they will take, grandma would let me do this or grandpa, you know. And I'm a big fan of the t-shirt that says, if mommy says no, go ask grandma. Right. You know. And if it's ice cream, I don't see a problem with it. But sometimes there are strong family values that you need to make sure that you understand that this is really important to your son or daughter. It may not have been important to you, but it is to them.
Yes.
And so I want to make sure that we are having that conversation so that I do know these are the things I can fudge on because I'm grandma.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the things that are really strong and important to my child. And so I want to make sure, because didn't we love it when our mothers stepped in and told us how to raise our kids? Wasn't that the most fun thing? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Nice. My mom was like, from someone else.
Come enough. Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't want to be that mom or that right. in-law. Now, do I have opinions? Look at me. Yeah. No, I do.
Right.
You know, and do I agree with my kids on all of their decisions and their attitudes and what they're doing?
No, I don't.
Not all of them.
No,
but that's okay. And so we know that, they know when they come to visit Nina and Poppy, they're going to church.
Mm-hmm.
Not all my kids go to church. Some do, some don't.
Right.
And so, so when you're with Nina and Poppy, that's just part of the Nina and Poppy experience.
Right.
Right. Right. And so I don't impose that on them when I go visit them.
Right.
This is their house. So, you know, just so you make sure you're having those conversations so that you are showing respect for your children mm-hmm. and what is going on. And there may be times, and I've had that time in my life as well, where my child will come to me and say, Mom, why is this happening with my kids? Why is this going on? I'm like, well, we can have that conversation.
Yep, absolutely. I know why. I can tell you. I can help you with that.
Yeah. And they may take my advice. They may not.
Right.
It's not a personal thing on me.
Right.
You know, and they know that if they don't take my advice, it doesn't affect my love and my relationship with them or the grandkids at all.
Right.
You know, and so if you can come with those kinds of attitudes and that love that's there, no matter what.
Yeah. Super important. Super important. So tell my audience where they can find you. And if you want to tell a little bit more about your coaching, if they're interested, because I think a lot of parents and maybe even grandparents could use a little bit of advice on this. So tell us a little bit about both, where we can find you and what your coaching is all about.
Yeah, I would love to. So my podcast is over here. It's called Imperfect Heroes, Insights mm-hmm. into Parenting. And we drop new episodes every Monday. And we are just getting ready to drop. I just finished editing episode 169. Wow. So there's a ton of different topics that you can go through and look for. Everything from dental care, when do we start that, to having boundaries, to teaching kindness and self-discipline, independence. How do we do that? Mm-hmm. There's just all kinds of just different topics you can look for there. And then I also do coaching. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. In fact, I've got a new client starting this afternoon. And just first off, we talk about what is important to you? Because mm-hmm. it's not my values that we need to talk about. What are your values? What are the things that are important to you? And then how can we build a family structure and routine around that? Mm-hmm. And also realizing that you may need to relook at yourself in that whole progress and learn more about who you are. What are your triggers? Why do you have those triggers? And then how can we work to not impose those triggers on our children? Mm. But so I coach mainly for families with kids from birth to 8. Mm-hmm. I do have some with kids that are a little older, but I really enjoy that. We can do anything from once a week to once a month. I really like to make it specific to the needs of that family. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you could get a group of your family members or even some of your best friends. You know, we have our friends. And so I've had neighborhood groups, you know, with 4 to 6 people that come in and want to do a group rate, which is less expensive, but it's also a great way to connect and to know that my daughter's going over to my friend's house and we did this thing together. And so, you know, I know we're all on the same page. And so there's that. I also, let me grab this, but I also have my book. It's called Roman is Bigger.
Oh,
it's a
nice.
Children's book. My illustrator's actually in the Ukraine, and we're working on the next installment.
Oh,
she's doing
nice.
The illustrations right now for the next one, where
so
Roman
now,
is a bigger brother.
Tell me about does the inside of the book have a lot of illustrations too? Because older books used to, and that, yes, that's what I used to love about older books, lots of illustrations. And today you don't usually find that. That's really nice. Wow.
Very yeah. Nice. And isn't she amazing? I know.
She is.
Yeah, but she truly is amazing. And yep. She's doing the next book. So Roman
nice.
Is a little boy who just has big feelings. And so he doesn't have the language to express. So I am bigger than mad. And so he's trying to find the right. I am bigger than happy. I am bigger than scared. I am bigger than silly. You know, all right. of these things, bigger than sad. And so,
nice.
It just goes through. And it also has, there's a page in the back for parents and grandparents on activities you can do to help expand your child's vocabulary, because that's a key element in their success in early childhood going into school. The kids who have the bigger vocabulary.
Absolutely. Yep.
Will do better.
Yep.
And so, and ever the teacher, I even have a lesson plan for teachers who want to use the book in their classroom. So.
That's great, because yeah, to use a book like that, that's wonderful. That book looks so interesting. Looks like so much fun.
Thank you.
And yet they're learning. So can you get it on Amazon? Where do they get it?
Yes, it's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and Walmart's website even.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it just got a 5-star review from Reader's Favorites, which is an organization that reviews books and mm-hmm. children's books, and
right.
we just got a 5-star review on that.
Wow.
And so that was really exciting, and I'm hoping to have Roman is a Bigger Brother out by Christmas. It's going to be touch and go. We'll see. But you can always go to my website, and even if you just go to imperfectheroespodcast.com, it can click you over to my coaching website.
Mm-hmm.
But you can register for my emails. And honestly, like, I only send a couple out a month. I am not like one of those.
Constantly. Yeah. Like some, every day almost some companies send me emails, and then I just want to get out, because if it's once in a while, it's great. You're kept up. But if it's every day, it's overload. And then I just have to opt out, because, you know, I might want to get one a month, but you got to opt out because they send too many. So that's good to know.
Right.
Good.
Yeah. Now, it's only a couple times a month.
Yep.
And if I have like a new challenge maybe that's coming up or something, I've done challenges on like how to quit yelling at your kids and things like that. I might say, oh, the challenge is going to start, you know, tomorrow.
Right.
Be sure you're there. Don't forget.
Right.
But generally, really, it is only like twice a month.
That's great. That's great. And you know, it's so helpful for parents to have that kind of information available. And the book looks like a really helpful book to help children deal with their emotions, because that's huge.
Yeah.
And it's not something they're going to learn at school. And if you're busy working, you come home, you're making dinner, you're putting them, when are you going to put that in? When? But a book, you can just read it to them when they go to bed and learn little by little.
Yeah. It's fun. I've even had some of the libraries in like Eastern Idaho area call me and ask me about getting it and doing story time at the libraries and stuff. And
that's great.
A lot of fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being my guest today. This was really a lot of fun, a lot of exciting information. Love the book, love the podcast. So, you know, someone who just really maybe feels they can't afford the coaching, even if they wanted it, you've got the podcast and other things to do. So, for those who can afford it.
And even on my website, there's a ton of workshops. I actually do a monthly workshop that's for free.
Oh, that's great.
It's on the fourth Thursday of every month.
Right.
And it's all on my website. And the website is actually www.littleheartsacademyusa.com. Okay. And that's the coaching website.
Okay.
And free workshops if you,
Great.
Because I know it's hard. I know it's hard.
It is difficult. And I'll have all that information in my show notes. So if you're exercising while you're listening, you can't write anything down, you can go back to the podcast on kickassboomers.com, click on DJ's picture, and all the show notes pop up. So you can get them anytime you need them. So yeah, I hope, you know, a lot of people take advantage, because parenting and grandparenting is difficult. It's not easy. Nobody taught us. So the coaching just gives us tips and hints on how to do it better. So I love that. It's perfect.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thanks for joining us today.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Kick-Ass Boomers. For more information on today's guest, along with the show notes and other inspiring resources, buzz on over to kickassboomers.com. And don't forget to join our Kick-Ass community on Facebook or LinkedIn to continue the conversation. Be bold, not old.
Looking to take your podcast to the next level with video? Are you looking to develop a podcast but don't know where to start? From recording and editing to final distribution and marketing, we can help every step of the way to make your podcast stand out and get the results it deserves. Contact us today at premierpodcastpros.com to take your podcast to the next level.